everyone, and welcome to Minute 39 of Season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg classic Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is the Flapper Dame herself, Emily. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. It's been so great so far, and the week's still not over, so it's going to be so awesome to talk, still continue to talk about Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, we've two more days. No need to rush it. You know, we're enjoying ourselves. I mean, these are interesting scenes to be discussing, and you know, you also get you know, the course of this week, you get four different locations during all of our discussions. So that, you know, adds so much to what we're talking about here also. So minute 39 begins with Horvath and Miller doing a walk and talk, and ends with a soldier saluting Miller. So we ended things yesterday with, you know, Miller was having his conversation with Anderson. Anderson told him that he has this new mission for him. And then Miller started explaining to Horvath about their mission. And he pretty much only got five words in before he got cut off at the end of yesterday's minute. So I'll rewind slightly, and then Miller's full comment is, some private in 101st lost three brothers, and he's got a ticket home. And then Horvath says to him, how come Newville? He goes, they think he's up there somewhere, part of all those airborne misdrops. It's not going to be easy finding one particular soldier in the middle of this whole goddamn war. And then Miller says to him, it's like finding a needle in a stack of needles. And Horvath then turns to him and goes, well, what about the company? He goes, well, we take a pick of the letter and the rest get folded into Baker. Jesus Christ, they took away your company. It wasn't my company. It was the Army's. So they told me anyway. Give me Ryben on the BAR. Jackson, Wade, Beasley, and Caprazzo. So, okay, we'll stop at this point and then describe everything that was going on. Like, first of all, I love the way that, I mean, this is pre-West Wing. And the two of them are basically having a walk and talk. You know, they're walking across the screen through this sea of soldiers that are mostly just lounging around. You know, you see a bunch of guys, see guys smoking, you see guys talking. You see guys playing games. You know, there's two guys where it looks like they're playing rock, paper, scissors. I don't know if you noticed that. At the 5 second mark, right pretty much in the middle of the screen, you see two guys that are sitting, and one of them is, it looks like they're playing rock, paper, scissors. So, you know, they must really be bored, I guess you can say. But who knows? Now, what do you know about the game rock, paper, scissors?
Not much, actually.
It's known as a transitive hand game that's usually played between two people, in which each player simultaneously forms one of three shapes with an outstretched hand. These shapes are rock, which is a closed fist, paper, a flat hand, and scissors, a fist with the index finger and middle finger extended, forming a V. An early form of this game originated in China and then was imported into Japan, where at that point it reached its modern standardized form. And then during the 20th century, it was pretty much spread around the entire world. You know, I guess like COVID or something like that, you know, it just went really quickly.
It's pretty bad that it's from China and I'm Chinese. That's pretty bad that I didn't know that.
You're not expected to know everything about China. So you are forgiven about that. You know, just like I don't expect to know everything about America or Israel. You know, there are facts that you will that you learn through the course of your life. You know.
Yeah.
Basically the etymology of the name rock, paper, scissors is a translation of the Japanese words for the three gestures involved in the games. And they, One of the names that is used is Rochambeau, and that's also it depends on how you spell it. There's a way that looks French, and there's a way that it looks Oriental, maybe Japanese, but it could be referring to Count Rochambeau, who allegedly played the game during the American Revolution. The problem is that most people claim that the game was only brought to the US around 1910. So it's not really sure, where how much truth there is to that. And it's strange that that's one of the names of the game, because nobody really knows how it's connected or anything like that. It's also known as well, sorry, different countries have different orders to how you refer to it. Like in America, it's referred to as rock, paper, scissors. In the UK, it's known as scissors, paper, stone. And you're supposed to actually chant this as you're playing the game. Sometimes you might say rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Which that's the moment when the players are supposed to reveal their choice.
Yes, that's how we did it. I remember in kindergarten, I learned it from kids at my table, and that's how I learned it. You have to say shoot when and go.
So in Australia, it's known as scissors, paper, rock, which is the backwards way that it's referred to in America. And in New Zealand, it's referred to as paper, scissors, rock. So again, they keep changing the order for the whole thing. So that's just re really interesting how obviously the gestures are all there. So I don't think it really makes a difference which one's first. The idea, obviously, for anyone who is unfamiliar with this, which I'm assuming most people listening are probably familiar, but if you're not, so the idea is that if you have a fist, which is a rock, then the thing that can beat it is an open hand, which is paper, which therefore the paper envelops the rock. Then if you have paper, which is the which is an open hand gesture, that can be cut by the scissors, and the scissors can be crushed by the rock. So it's an interesting idea how they basically make all three of these gestures equal, because there is always something that can outmaneuver the other one. It's not as if there's one that is always going to win and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just a great I guess even 3 days after D-Day, that's something that these guys are just bored and decided that they're going to do. There is a court case in 2006 where a federal judge, Gregory Presnell, from the Middle District of Florida, ordered opposing sides in a lengthy court case to settle a trivial but lengthily debated point over the appropriate place for a deposition using the game of rock, paper, scissors.
Whoa.
So I'm just going to quickly read the court order, which is very funny. Upon consideration of the motion, the latest in a series of Gordian knots that the parties have been unable to untangle without enlisting the assistance of the federal courts, it is ordered that said motion is denied. Instead, the court will fashion a new form of alternative dispute resolution. At 4 p.m. on Friday, June 30th, 2006, counsel shall convene at a neutral site agreeable to both parties. If counsel cannot agree on a neutral site, they shall meet on the front steps of the Sam M. Gibbons U.S. Courthouse in Tampa, Florida. Each lawyer shall be entitled to be accompanied by one paralegal who shall act as an attendant and witness at the time and location. Counsel shall engage in one game of rock, paper, scissors. The winner of this engagement shall be entitled to select the location for the deposition to be held somewhere in Hillsborough County during the period of the 11th and 12th of July 2006, which I think is hilarious that
What?
that a judge ordered something like this.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. There is a world tournament of rock, paper, scissors that they started in 2015, that you have the World Rock, Paper, Scissors Association, that has tournaments, around the world, for the whole thing. Again, it just sounds very strange that a game like this would have a tournament, but oh well, I guess they do have these things.
Yes, yeah, like a game that you play on the school ground in
That's right.
the school is
Correct.
now.
Now, right. Now, the Guinness Book of World Records has a tab for rock, paper, scissors for the largest rock, paper, scissors tournament. It was in 2014. It was in Indianapolis, Indiana. They had 2,950 players that were all part of this huge rock, paper, scissors tournament. Again, it's just the numbers are amazing.
Yeah.
Amazingly crazy. That's what it comes down to. But still, and like I was saying, back to the movie. So Miller and Horvath are walking back and forth. Horvath takes a swig from his canteen, then hands it to Miller, who then himself takes a swig, showing that even in June here, it's pretty hot for these guys. Then Miller actually even spits out part of the water that he has, and then he takes the canteen for himself, puts it in his pouch. As the two of them are continuing with their walk and talk. And then as I mentioned earlier, so at this point, Miller says which guys he wants. He wants Ryben on the VAR, Jackson, Wade, Beasley, and Caparzo. And at this point, and then he says, he said before about the pick of the litter. So do you know what pick of the litter refers to?
Like in just in general, or is this militarily speaking, or
No, it's in general. Like, what's the
that you're selected amongst an elite group?
correct? Basically, the best of the best. You're picking the
Yeah.
best of the best. Friend of the show, Dana Nachman, is the director of a documentary called "Pick of the Litter" about dogs that are used for to help. To help handicapped people. And she even has a TV series that I believe is in its second season right now. And so that's also you should check that out if you're interested in knowing what pick of the litter really means from that, because it's a phrase quite often used when dealing with puppies. In today's example, in this movie, obviously it's not. It's let's pick the best men to send out to go use to go on this mission with them. Right. So then, as the two of them finally reach the men during their conversation, so Mike then says to John, Beasley's dead. And says, all right, Mellish, then. We get anyone who speaks French? Not that I know of. What about Talbot? He goes, this morning. Oh, all right. I'm gonna go try and dig up some I'm gonna go try and dig up another interpreter. Assemble that battalion motor pool on the beach. Yes, sir. So again, one of the things that I love about the character of Miller is that, he's this officer. But he knows his men. He is able to quickly say, okay, these are the guys we want. He's not specifically just thinking about which guys made it through the action today, because here he's going to mention two guys that neither of them are still around. But he knows who they are. It's the type of thing that when you were I don't know, sometimes if you're in a maybe a large university class or something like that, and the professor knows everyone in the room and is able to like mention people's names specifically and stuff like that, even though they aren't necessarily people that you're constantly interacting with, which again, it amazes me that Miller is able to do this, or it impresses me. I don't know if amazes is the right word. That he says, okay, well, we got to do this, so okay, give me this guy and that guy and the other one, and then Mike has to say to him, well, that guy didn't make it today, and he's like, oh, okay, fine, so give me someone else instead, give me Mellish instead of him. Again, it tells us a lot about the way that he the way that he leads his men. And again, having seen this movie so many times, when they walk up towards where all the men are seated on the ground, we can already start recognizing who's who, if you've seen this movie before. And just the way they're all just sitting there doing various things. We have Jackson is basically sharpening a stick as he's there, and you have Ryben's just sitting there smoking, and Wade, for some reason, I'm not sure what he's doing, because it's possible that he's smoking, but I don't know if through the movie we see him smoke. So maybe it's just that he's putting his no, he's I think he's eating chocolate or something like that. Think that's what it comes down to. And then Miller just like walks into the middle of them as he's having this conversation and just picks up his gear. And ignores everyone else, but he's still talking to Mike, and telling them that they should meet in the motor pool. Now, what's interesting, he doesn't give them amount of time. He doesn't say, meet me at the motor pool in 15 minutes, meet me at the motor pool in an hour, meet me at 2 o'clock or whatever it is. It's just meet me at the motor pool. So like, how are Mike and the rest of them supposed to know when they're supposed when they're expected to go there? Do you have any?
Yeah.
So again, I don't know the answer. And then Miller leaves the company of all these men, and as he's doing it, there's like a very strange conversation that goes on between some of the characters here, which I'm not going to go too much into it because it just doesn't make much sense. And I think that they're trying to show us a little bit of animosity between the characters, and I think that's about it. Because first we have Caparzo say, Sarge, what are we gonna do? And he goes, okay, listen up. What are we gonna do? And he goes, you're gonna go home wrapped in an American flag with a hunk of cheese in your ass, Caparzo, you smart ass. Now, again, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know why, Mike is upset at Caparzo for asking, where are we going? What are we gonna do? That type of thing. Just very strange. And then Mike addresses them and goes, now listen up. And then Robin just jumps in and goes, I thought you liked it in the ass. And he goes, what? He goes, I thought you liked it in the ass. And that's it. And then like the scene is cut at that point. And we move on to the next scene. So the only thing that I can basically garner from this scene is the fact that they're trying to show us that, okay, these characters aren't 100% getting along. That's probably the extent of what I could say about that. I don't know. Again, it's just a little strange. Where do you think this whole thread of conversation is supposed to be taking us?
Maybe, in a situation like this that is so, it's so high emotion, maybe they wanted to, I don't know, make some jokes about something. I take it as they're trying to lighten the mood a little bit by making some jokes. Even if it comes off as animosity, it's like, oh, we're gonna clown around and mention what cheese or something.
No, he's basically saying that you're going to go home in a wrapped in an American flag, meaning that you're going to be dead. We're going to be sending you home dead with a hunk of cheese in your ass. Again, it doesn't. I don't know what that really means. I don't know what he's trying to say with that. So it's not really sure. Oh well. I guess we will leave that open for interpretation. I guess there's nothing else that we really can say about those things, but the way that that is.
The dialogue this week, it's been like cut off and abrupt, if you've noticed that.
Yes.
Like,
Yeah, it's been cut off, but in some ways that's good because it's giving us snippets of things. You know, it's allowing us to you know, you're not always the fly on the wall listening to everything that's going on. That's what they're trying to say here. You know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So I think that's the what it comes down to. I don't
Mm-hmm.
know. Not really sure. And then the scene is cut again, and it moves, you know, showing us I guess another area with soldiers waiting around. They're all very busy. You know, we only see them literally for a second at the beginning here. They're, you know, you see them looking at perhaps maps or things like that, very attentive. And there's a soldier on guard, I guess keeping these guys safe, protecting them. I don't know what specifically why you have what looks like, we have two soldiers that are guarding them. You have any idea what those soldiers are possibly doing there?
Wait, you said guarding
They're
the.
guarding the area where these four soldiers are going over maps or whatever it is that they're doing.
Oh, okay, so possibly they are trying to keep other, like, trying to keep it under wraps from too many people seeing, even like not getting too far ahead of themselves to let people know what they're planning until they know exactly what they're doing.
Okay, I can see that, but again, like, why? I don't understand why they need to have guards on them. That's what it looks like. In some ways, it looks like they're prisoners, or that whatever they're doing is being hidden from something. I don't know.
Perhaps just to give a demonstration of how there used to be, like, there's so much going on, just show people that people would stand on guard, that they're not just, in the background shaving and eating, that they're maybe it's to prove that there would be soldiers standing on guard.
Maybe what it comes down to is that, you know, maybe these guys are in intel because they're in intelligence, they're dealing with classified information, so they have to have guards there to make sure that only authorized people are able to show up. You know, that could possibly be it also. Don't know. Okay, so did you have anything else that you want to say about this minute?
No, I don't.
All right. So every Thursday we have a segment called Say What Thursday, where the idea is that I choose three different actors from this movie each week, and basically I will tell you a quote that one of these actors has used in a movie. And you have to, I will tell you what year the movie came out. You have to try and guess which of the three actors we're talking about, and you know what movie this quote is from. All right. And so the three actors that I chose for you are Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, and Ted Danson. So it could be any of those three actors. Okay,
Okay.
it doesn't have to be all of them. You know, I'm going to give you five different quotes, and you know, you're going to have to try and guess which one is of these, which of these three actors is the quote from, and possibly and try to tell me what movie it's from. All right. All right. So let's start with the first one. So, a movie from 1993. Okay, and the quote is, "There is no way that we are going on a plane to meet some woman who would be a crazy, sick lunatic. Didn't you see Fatal Attraction? Do you have any idea which actor this is? This could be Matt Damon, could be Tom Hanks, or it could be Ted Danson. And I can give you lifelines. I can tell you the name of the director, tell you the name of other actors in the movie, things like that, if you want more information.
Wait, is this from Sleepless in Seattle?
Yes, it is. Very good.
Okay, so it's Tom Hanks in Sleepless in Seattle.
That's right. Excellent. You see, it was a lot easier than you thought. I felt that you were a little a little scared about what was gonna happen.
It's just I don't really watch movies with Matt. I don't really like Matt Damon that all that much, actually.
Okay, but again, you don't know if you're gonna even get anything from Matt Damon. You know, it
Okay.
might be Tom Hanks, it might be Ted Danson, it could be any of them.
Okay.
All right, the next one is from a movie from 1997, and the quote is, "How do you like them apples?"
Gonna have to 1997. I've definitely heard the quote before, but I don't know if it's gonna like I'm not sure if it's gonna match what I think it is. Is this I'll just guess. Is this 1997? So I'm not sure. I'm just gonna guess. Is this Matt Damon?
It is Matt Damon. Okay, yes.
Oh.
What movie?
Oh man, I'm not even sure. I'm not
All right,
sure.
I will give you then a another I'll give you a hint. It was directed by Gus Van Sant.
Oh, okay. Is this Good Will
Yes,
Hunting?
it is. Very good.
Okay, because I saw Good Will Hunting once in film class, and I know a lot of people really like they like that's their number one movie. I just thought it was okay. But yeah, I saw Good Will Hunting once like 10 years ago.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. All right, so we'll move on to the next one. A movie from 2002. Remember, it could be Tom Hanks, Matt Damon, or Ted Danson. All right, and the quote is, "Who has a safety deposit box full of money and six passports and a gun? Who has a bank account number in their hip? I come in here, and the first thing I'm doing is I'm catching the sight lines and looking for an exit. Any clue?"
You said it's from 2002.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I'm not sure. See, there's so many movies like from the early part of the century that I just haven't seen because I was watching like the children's movies from that time. I'm just gonna guess. I'm just gonna guess Tom Hanks. I'm not
It
sure.
is not Tom Hanks.
Okay.
So do you want a lifeline?
Sure.
Okay, it is directed by Doug Liman. So it's 2002, and we know it's not Tom Hanks. So it is either Ted Danson or Matt Damon. And do you want me to tell you the quote again?
Sure.
Who has a safety deposit box full of money and six passports and a gun? Who has a bank account number in their hip? I come in here, and the first thing I'm doing is I'm catching the sight lines and looking for an exit.
Okay, I'm gonna guess. Is this Matt Damon?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And what movie from 2002 do you believe it is?
I'm not even sh I don't even know where to begin. I'm honestly not sure.
Okay. Another actor in the movie is Chris Cooper, Julia Stiles, Clive O.
Identity, the
That's
Bourne
right. Yes,
Identity.
it's very good. Very
Okay.
good. The Bourne Identity. All right, next one. Remember, it could be Ted Danson, Matt Damon, or Tom Hanks. Okay, the quote is, this is a movie from 2004. "Seeing is believing, but sometimes the most real things in the world are the things we can't see."
This is this the Polar Ex this is the Polar Express. This is Tom Hanks.
Excellent. See? Very good. Very good.
Yeah, and I don't even like the Polar Express, but I know
I
that.
actually love that movie. It's very creepy to look at, but I love
Yeah.
the premise behind it. I think it's a great idea.
Okay.
Okay, and
I
yeah. And the final one, again, it could be Ted Danson, Tom Hanks, or Matt Damon. From 1994. One day it started raining and it didn't quit for 4 months. We've been through every kind of rain here. Little bit of stinging rain, a bit of old fat rain, rain that flew in sideways, and sometimes rain even seemed to come straight up.
This is definitely Forrest Gump
Yes, it is.
from, yeah.
Excellent. You see, Emily did a lot better than you thought you would. Very impressed.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Yes, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at FlapperDame16, and then I have my film blog at theflapperdamefilm.wordpress.com, and then I'm on YouTube under the name The Flapper Dame in parentheses Emily G.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com, or you can send me an email to movierobminute@movierob.net. So, Emily, you feel like coming back again tomorrow to finish off the week?
Absolutely.
To find out who all these soldiers are that are just sitting there being guarded.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, excellent. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this.
My solitude, you